Back up here again and bring another lesson. And this lesson I put together, I've been thinking on, I've been thinking a lot about the temple of God. And we all know what today the temple of God is, and that we are the temple of God, we make up the temple of God, but I want us to look into the temple of God, into the Old Testament, and then compare it to the New Testament. I believe by us looking back to the Old Testament and seeing God's attitude toward His temple and how His anger was aroused against those who defiled His temple, and maybe we can understand better today the importance of living a godly life and presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God every day. I know looking back a lot of times in the Old Testament to see those things back then, what God's attitude was, really helps me today and helps build my faith up today when I look into the New Testament and I see what God requires and I understand why God requires what He requires of us. And that's what I want us to understand today. We know that we, as children of God today, that we are the temple of the living God today, but I want us to understand why. I want us to understand the importance of it and what a great privilege it is that we have today, that we can be that dwelling place of God. And it is a great privilege to be a vessel for the Lord. But it's also a great responsibility that we sometimes not forget. We are going to look at what the temple was and what it is today. How many defiled the temple in the Old Testament and how we can today. How we must be careful how we build. We need to be careful of those things and mindful of those things. And so, I want us to think about those things. Now, I want us to look now all the way back in Genesis. We're going to look here at the Old Testament here at the temple, the tabernacle. Here in Genesis 25, there in verse 8, it says, "Then Abraham breathed." I wrote this down. So I wrote Genesis there. I think that's Exodus I meant there. Exodus 25. Let's try this. I wrote Genesis there. Exodus 25, verse 8. This is God here speaking here to Moses. He says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it." And so here, we see in here that God's telling here, Moses here, he's up on the mountain. He's telling him now about this sanctuary that he wants him to make for him, that he may dwell among them. And there in Exodus in chapter 40, we see here the building of this tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 40, there in verse 1, it said, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall put it in the ark of the testimony and partition off the ark with the veil. You shall bring it in the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it. And you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps." So here now God's here telling them specifically, the children of Israel, specifically how to build and set up this tabernacle, this temple here, where God's going to dwell with them. Jump on over to verse 34 there, the same chapter, chapter 40 of Exodus. He says, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle meeting because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, when they did not journey till the day that it was taken up, for the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." So here now we see in this tabernacle here was finished, and then the glory of the Lord here has filled the tabernacle. And here, Moses here was not able to enter the tabernacle meeting because the cloud rested above it. And then here, the glory of the Lord now is filled this tabernacle. This tabernacle has been built that God has commanded the children of Israel. And then we can see later on in Aaron and his sons, they could come into the tabernacle. Aaron and his sons only, just the priest here, could go into Aaron and his sons. There's only one that can enter into this tabernacle. So God's given them these things. They were to be consecrated for this task. They were to be holy. And they had to treat those things with utmost respect. God expected them to do exactly as He has told them here in these things. So I want us to look at all these tabernacles here. We see now later on in 1 Kings, we'll turn with me there, we'll see here in 1 Kings where Solomon here now builds the temple here. In 1 Kings chapter 6, we know the story here of David. Did David want to build the Lord this temple here? But God would not allow him to build it. He was a man of war. But he said his son would do those things. And here now we see in 1 Kings chapter 6 there in verse 11, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgments, keep all my commandments, and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel." So Solomon built the temple and finished it. So here we have Solomon here building the Lord's temple here. But there were stipulations here for God in dwelling with them. We need to understand. It was the same with the children of Israel previous when they built the tabernacle meeting. And here, he tells them there in verse 12, "Concerning this temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgments, keep all my commandments, and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel." So here now we see these tabernacles here of the Old Testament. We see those things of God here, where God was dwelling here with them. But they had an importance there they had to do. They had to continue in those things that God commanded them. They had to continue in His statutes. But I want us to look and tie these things into ourselves to understand these things before we look into how they defile these things. And if you will, turn me to Acts chapter 7. We need to understand this. This ain't where God was limited here to the tabernacle that they had built here and erected for God. In Acts chapter 7, if you will follow along with me there in verse 44 starting. Acts chapter 7, verse 44. "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as He appointed, instructing Moses to make it, according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it, in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before God, and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things?" It's interesting here we see God here is telling them, heaven is my throne. He's telling them here now that the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. That heaven is His throne. The earth is His footstool, He says. And He's telling them here, has not my hand made all these things that you have? We need to understand those. And then we look into, understand that that true place where God dwells there is in heaven. On His throne. And go even now to Ephesians where we just read. I want us to look there in Ephesians real closely at the scriptures Josh has read for us. In Ephesians chapter 2. Very interesting here. Ephesians chapter 2, they're starting in verse 19. says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." I want you not strangers and foreigners here of God's people here, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. I'm going to stop there just for a minute and kind of point this out. I brought this out many times, and this is very interesting here. Having been built on the foundation here of the apostles and the prophets here. That's what we're being built on. We need to understand these things. We can put faith in the Word. In the next chapter, in the previous chapter, right behind this, he starts it there in Ephesians chapter 3, what I've been brought out even this morning. You know, we'll look there in Ephesians chapter 3. It says there in verse 2 there, it says, "If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery," Paul here says, "as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets." So here it is to us today when you think about this. These things was not been revealed revealed to others in other times. But yet these things now has been revealed to us. The mystery here of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. But it has been revealed to us. And how has this thing been revealed to us? Just as he's been saying here. These things here, we've been built on this foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And this is the same way he's talking here. So how do we understand? How can we build on this foundation? Paul says, this mystery here, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery. So yet, we get those things by when we read God's Word. That's how we read and we understand those things. And then we being built on that foundation that the apostles and prophets have laid. Then it goes on, say, back up now to the previous chapter in verse chapter 20. Having been built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Alright. You think about this. We've been built on that foundation we just talked about, that the apostles and prophets laid, with Jesus Christ Himself as a cornerstone. And in the whole building here, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we're being built up together here as a spiritual house. Each one of us here are being built up together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The Spirit of God filled the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And we ourselves are being built up to be that dwelling place of God in the Spirit today. And the Spirit of God, that's why we are the temple of the living God. We are the dwelling place of God today. When we have put on Christ, we've done those, and we obeyed the gospel, we are His children. He does dwell in us. We are the temple of the living God. There in we've talked about that in verse 21 there, where we are the dwelling place of God. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, what I was pointing to is, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? I hope we all know that. That we are this temple of God, and the Spirit of God does dwell in us. The Spirit of God dwelled in the temple back then. The Spirit of God dwells in us. As long as we continue in those things that He would have us to do. And then we're going to look at the importance of these things now. I brought all this out to understand now the temple of the Old Testament, the temple now of the New Testament. And now let's look at some things in the Old Testament that they did when they did not regard God as being holy. And they did not be obedient to His Word. Let's look back now in Leviticus chapter 10. A lot of these stories we all know, but I just want us all to tie them together now to see how they did not regard God here as they should. In Leviticus chapter 10, most of you know here, this is Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu here, they did not glorify God as they should. there, follow along with me there in chapter 10, Leviticus chapter 10, there in verse 1. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. We see here Nadab and Abihu here, priests, Aaron's sons. They took their censers here, they put fire on it, and they offered a profane fire. A fire here that the Lord did not command. And so fire went out from the Lord and it devoured them. God consumed them because of their disobedience here. And the Lord told them clearly here, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. We need to understand this. This is priests here. And we know now that we are priests and of the New Testament, 1 Peter 2:9. We are holy priesthood now. We are priests. We need to be careful. We can see here and learn a lot here from the priest here. When we come near to God, we must regard Him as holy. And now we realize that we are the temple of the living God. It is a holy temple. We are set apart for God's purpose. And so we no longer are children walking to and fro in all kind of worlds of doctrines and sins. We are doing God's will. And we must regard Him as holy. We see God's attitude towards these here. Let us not forget those things. Many today think God will be happy with whatever they give Him. No, God will be happy as long as I give Him this sacrifice. God commands obedience. God wants what He has told us to give Him. We'll turn me now to 1 Samuel. Let's look now at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting in verse 12. 1 Samuel, chapter 2, there in verse 12, starting. We here see the wicked sons of Eli. There in verse 12 said, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan of the kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. And if the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires. He would then answer him, no, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force. Therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They did not know the Lord. Ain't that interesting here? The sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Think about this when it talks about 1 John 2:3. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Did they keep His commandments? Absolutely not. They did not regard God as holy. They did not keep His commandments. And in that, they did not know God. Well, look here on. Go on now to verse 22 now. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. Many things in Scripture, some things might make each one of us emotional. This Scripture right here makes me emotional, very angry. at the attitude that we see from these men. And Eli here was very old, and he said he heard everything his sons did to all Israel and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Could we imagine this public wickedness at the door of the temple? Such blatant disregard for God. That type of attitude should never be heard of. A type of attitude that we see from these men is an attitude that should never be said between the children of God. They did not regard God as holy. They did not think much of what God gave them to do. They made light of it. Why didn't Eli stop his sons? Why didn't Eli himself stand up and stop his sons? They should have been put to death for their sin, for what they have done to God. Look on there, what the Lord sent here to, a man of God here to Eli, there in verse 27. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose them out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourself fat with the best of all offerings of Israel, my people? Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now, the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." They turned from God. They did not honor God. God tells them clearly, those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me, they shall be lightly esteemed. Why didn't He stop His children from doing these things? Well, some say, well, He warned them. He told them to quit. Well, that ain't good enough. We see there in verse 29 when God told him, "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering?" He's telling this to Eli, "which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me." Who did he honor more? He honored his sons more than he did God. It's a good question we need to ask ourselves. Who do we honor the most? Who do we honor the most? Do we honor our children above God? Do we honor our parents more than God? Do we honor those in the world more than God? Where is God at on our list? Brethren, do we realize if we don't honor God, and He is no longer going to honor those things He told us. When you realize that we are the temple now of the living God, we see what these men here have done when they have laid with women at the door of the tabernacle. But I want us to look here at their public wickedness and such blatant disregard. What else did it cause? It caused others to stumble. Back up to verse 24. "No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress." Such a sinful thing that these men were causing at the door of the temple. Others would not even offer their sacrifices because what was going on at the temple. It should never have been going on. Did it just hurt themselves? They hurt the Lord's people. They caused the Lord's people to transgress. Brethren, can we ourselves cause people to transgress the Lord's commandment? Absolutely. I myself, as a child of God, in the temple of the living God, I can defile the temple of God, and I can also cause others to transgress. Brethren, we don't want to ever be as these men and cause others to transgress and to defile the temple of the living God. Let us learn from these scriptures. Let us learn. I think about what comes to my mind when I think about these men that done these wicked things in front of the children of Israel. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that we also reap. I look at men here trying to mock God, making a mockery of God, doing these things in front of Him, in front of His people. They ain't mocking God. Don't be deceived. Whatever they soweth, that's what they're going to reap. We need to realize the same thing. We ain't fooling nobody. We ain't fooling people of the world. We ain't fooling God. What we sow, that's what we're going to reap. We make for certain that we are going to do what God has told us to do. And we're going to do as Joseph did in Genesis 39:9, when Joseph here, Potiphar's wife, wanted to leave with him. And he said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's how we need to look at sin. Joseph looked at that sin way away from his country, way off from him. He didn't hardly know nobody. He was still not going to sin against God. But yet you had these men who were doing it at the temple of the living God. We need to be as Joseph. We realize we're not going to do it, period. We're not going to sin against God. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. What if we defile our temple? What if we do defile our temple? Let's look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Brethren, we cannot defile the temple. We are the temple. And it is a great thing. We need to see that as a great honor and privilege to be the temple of the living God. But we also need to take heed warnings from those that we've seen in the Old Testament when they defile our Lord's temple. There's many more we could look at. Nehemiah here, I did want to look at that one there. Maybe look back at Nehemiah. Had here some here who were trying to get Nehemiah to defile the temple. And we ourselves need to think about that today. Many will try to get us to defile our temple. Nehemiah chapter 6, starting in verse 5. Nehemiah 6, verse 5, says, then Sanballat sent his servants to me as before the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall, that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. Then I sent to him, saying, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, and the son of Metabel, who was a secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. And let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I will go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. So we see here, they try to get Nehemiah here to defile the temple by going into the temple. He was not permitted to go in there, but they try to get Nehemiah here to defile that temple. Think about us today, though. I brought that out to us. Does people try to get us to defile our temple? Absolutely. There's many out there. You may have friends out there trying to get you to defile the temple. You may have family out there trying to get you to defile the temple. Brethren, if we have friends and you have those that are trying to get you to defile the temple, you better take heed. You better run. Get away from those things. Whatever you got to cut off, you cut it off. You realize that you are the temple of the living God. and you're going to give God the glory, and you're going to honor Him. You're going to be holy, treat Him, and come to Him as one who is holy. In Ezekiel, I'm not going to turn there and read that, but Ezekiel chapter 8, there in 5 through 18, we can see Ezekiel here. Here he had a vision of the abominations of Israel and how they defiled His temple. God showed Ezekiel these things and what all they were doing. Terrible, terrible things. Thought they was hiding and doing these things in their home. And God showed Ezekiel these things. They're not hiding things from God. What about us? We think we might try to do something in our own homes? Thinking, well, I'm all alone. God don't know. The others don't know. God knows. Matthew 21, we see here where they misused the temple. Jesus run them out. Matthew 21, starting at verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And He said to them, "It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple and He healed them. They were misusing the temple. Can we misuse our temple? Absolutely. Let us learn from these things that we have in God's Word, though. Let us learn. Last scripture I want to leave with us, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll look there in verse 11 through 18. Paul said, "O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." We need to take heed to these things. God says He will dwell in us. He will walk among us. He will be our God, and we can be His people. He tells us, though, that we must come out from among them. Come out from among those things. And be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. So what if you touch those things that are unclean? He will not receive you. We are not to defile the temple of God. Say those things. We all understand these things. They're not here beating us down. We need to see this is a great thing. But we need to see it is a great privilege and a great honor to be a child of God. Great, great honor. But do we understand the importance of it? If we realize that we are the temple of the living God, and we can look back to the Old Testament, and we can see the importance of not defiling the temple. We need to see it today, the importance of ourselves and not defiling that temple. We don't want to provoke God's wrath. We want to seek Him out. We want to be that temple that God would have us to be. It is a great thing to be the temple of God. And it's a thing we can be blessed in. It's the greatest thing I've ever done by turning my life over to God. It is nothing hard to keep God's commandments. Yet I cannot be walking with the world and walk with God. I've got to be called out of those things. We've been called out of that world of darkness into His marvelous light. So make sure we're not partakers of those things in the dark. That we are not going to be trying to go back to those things. He who puts his hand to the plow and turns back, he's not worthy of the kingdom of God. We put our hands to the plow, brethren. Let's not look back. Let's continue every day doing those things God has us to be. Let's make sure that we are regarding ourselves as holy. God has set us apart for His purpose. So let's make for certain that's what we're doing, and we realize the importance of those things. And it's a thing that we need to be cheerful of. This ain't nothing to be sad about. But yet, there may be some here who has defiled the temple. We might help you in some way to help you cleanse yourself. We realize that. What a great thing it is. We can see. 1 John 1:9, he's talking to us there. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can cleanse ourselves and get ourselves back right with God. We can pick ourselves up and continue those things. And realizing that when I do sin, when I do commit to those things, and things of sin overtakes me, I have defiled my temple, I have let my God down, and I have committed that sin against God. We need to see it as that, a filthy thing. We need to abhor those things that are evil. We don't need to flirt with them. So I'm hoping that I've encouraged you through these things and that we realize what a great honor it is we can be a child of God, but let us be careful how we walk, and let us be careful on who we hang around with and things we do, realizing that we are God's temple. We need to treat it as such. So if we can help you in any way, there may be, like I said, some those here who need help. You might need prayer to the congregation for whatever reason. We're here to help you. Maybe those who want to become a child of God, who want to be the temple of the living God, we can help you in that. Whatever way we can help you, we bid you come now. We stand to sing.